Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
Coming up, we'll drink a toast of the weekend with a shot of the day. Then it's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
It's Bad Choice Friday.
You know it's Bad Choice Friday.
Hey, man, this is your fault.
Damn on. And today we celebrate Friday the 13th and Father's Day on a Bad Choice Friday, representing Friday the 13th, Stevie Wonder. Play that on bass.
Yeah.
God, that sounds good. That's awesome.
But the part that you like is not on bass, but I can play that part on bass.
Well, you can still get in the right key, right?
Yeah, you can do it on bass. You can play it on any instrument. If I play it at home, I play the clavinet, I believe.
Is that like a Hammond organ, or is that a...
I believe it's the organ thing. Then right. The cool sound that you like.
Yeah.
And even though the bass line isn't that, I'd bet $1 million that everyone that plays bass, if they play Superstition, they're playing that part.
Okay, all right.
And the bass line ain't bad, but that ain't the cool part, man.
Stevie Wonder and Superstition representing Friday the 13th, who represents Father's Day, the Kings of Dad Rock, Creed.
Definitely play this bass line.
That's a hell of a matchup right there.
But Creed against Stevie Wonder?
Creed higher against Stevie Wonder and Superstition.
I'd play them back to back.
Why not?
It'll be on someone's playlist, both of these songs this weekend.
Vote now if you follow us on X at Men's Room Live. Will it be Creed or Stevie Wonder? Coming up on a Bad Choice Friday.
My dad actually would put both of these on his playlist.
I would too.
Me too. Kidding me? So today, talking now superstitions, talking stereotypes. Our question, what do you do that perfectly fits your stereotype as we head to Florida? A man in Florida has been arrested after stabbing a bull shark in what has been called an egregious case of animal cruelty by Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation officers. Do we have any idea why this guy would stab a bull shark?
Well, one, he's from Florida, but okay. I did read why he did it. His personal justification for this.
Zane Garrett, 26 years old, stabbed a bull shark repeatedly in the head near Key West. The video quickly went viral and prompted anonymous tips as to who the character was in the video. Garrett, who was listed on Second Nature's Charter's website as a boat captain, does not hold a proper captain's license, a fact confirmed by wildlife officials. Now, after the tip, they tracked the video to Garrett via a poster and interviewed him to find out what's going on. And Garrett said, yeah, that's me. Now, initially, the views of the man came to light. He claimed his actions aimed to deter sharks from stealing his catch. And basically, as he said, the reason that he stabbed this shark was an act of revenge because the shark had eaten one of his fish that he was reeling in.
Which is what happens when you're in the ocean with sharks.
When I asked why he stabbed the shark, if he knew that it, why, he admitted it was more for revenge because this one particular shark had stolen his fish and was a nuisance and had done it many times. I asked Mr. Garrett if he thought that the repeated blows would eventually kill the shark, to which he replied, "No. I know for a fact it takes a lot more to kill a shark than a couple strikes to its head." Our question, what do you do that perfectly fits your stereotype? 206-803-ROCK.
Did the shark die?
No.
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 Bull sharks are no joke, man.
He stabbed it, but the shark did not die, as far as they know.
That's what the guy had said, like, "Oh, no, it takes more than what I did. I was just pissed and, you know."
Damn.
All right.
What?
Well, I mean, that's... Look, I'm not saying to stab a shark, right? But...
You're not pro shark stabbing.
There's a lot of sharks. So then if you're fishing and you recognize him and he keeps eating your fish as you're catching him.
Well, there's a lot of things that steal fish from a line.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, it could be a sea lion. It could be a number of things.
It'd be worse if it were a sea lion. People would have a much different reaction if he were stabbing a sea lion.
Well, half the time, though, the issue is you pull it in, you just got half a fish.
Yes.
And you can tell a shark bit it in half.
Yeah. Or a barracuda. They'll take half your fish, too.
Yeah. I can fathom where this guy's coming from.
I understand.
And obviously he knows. He's like, he's just pissed, but it's like, the shark did die.
No. Mm-hmm. No. As far as I know.
And you got to hurt somehow as they know. Shark said something to the other sharks.
That brother will stab you, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you do that perfectly fits your stereotype? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Angel. Welcome to the men's room.
How you doing, guys?
Oh, a male angel. Let me think of a stereotype. You have pigtails, you're riding a one-speed bike, and you have drugs on you.
You're the devil.
Yep. That was me when I was little. Hey, have you ever seen that movie, that The Old Man and the Sea, with Steven, Mr. Tracy?
I read it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I did not see the movie. I read the book, because it was 103 pages. But if I knew...
Spencer Tracy was the actor. He caught the fish, and then the shark ate it. If I was the guy from Florida, I would do the same thing, man.
Okay. All right.
Angel will stab a shark. Okay. You understand?
Yeah. So what happened to me was, when I was stationed at Fort Lewis, and back in 1986, I was sleeping because I had guard duty. And the CQ, the guy in charge of the quarters, came over to the room and waked me up. He said, "Angel, can you help me here?" He said, "What's going on?" It's like this lady locked her keys in her car. And I need somebody to help me open it up. And
I know you know how to break in.
Yeah, you probably know how to do that. And I just look at his brother from Philadelphia. I just look at him and it's like, "Really, man?" And then he said, and then I went down there with a hanger and I opened the car and went back. This is the part. It's like black, white, Mexico. Where I'm from. you guys from the East Coast?
Yeah.
Okay, you know my accent, so you probably can tell.
Well, if you're wrong on this one, you might get pissed.
Right.
No. I don't care.
Oh, Florida.
I just want. No. Just you guys from the East Coast. You see a lot of them around you.
Are you actually Mexican descent, or are you just Hispanic?
Okay, I'm Hispanic. Okay?
I'd say Guatemalan.
Papi, come on. Papi, I'm from Puerto Rico, bro.
Oh, Puerto Rico.
So you're from New York.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you're from New York.
That's what I'm saying. No, but I'm from the island, but the reputation that we had, that we steal cars. And that's why the guy picked me up from the bunch of us.
I like the fact that a brother from Philly was like, "Oh, breaking into cars? Yeah, let me get my man." Because if you weren't there, it'd have been the guy from Philly.
But the fact that you did it.
Right.
You know, like, we know a guy. We work with a guy. I'm going to say his name, Ryan Castle. But if you needed to get something out of your car and you locked it, he's the guy that breaks into your car.
But where is he from?
He can also steal your car. Yakima.
Everett.
Oh, well,
right. I mean,
same difference.
Yes.
Right. When it comes to being a criminal.
I'm just saying, it's like, he wouldn't be. I'm like, "Oh, he's from Everett. He can break into your car." And the thing is, he's like, I can hotwire it. I can steal it. The whole nine. And as he'll say, "I learned it as a kid in Everett."
Right.
It's not some new skill he picked up in radio. He's like, "Oh, yeah, because that's kind of something that we did back in the day, man."
That's exactly what happened to me. I learned it in the hood.
Yeah. I mean, that's how it goes, man. And that's why those stereotypes are there. I just like that they sought you out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Angel, there's no way you can't do this. So go ahead and do it.
Okay. Well, okay, on your instance, being tall and black, if you're not an A1 basketball player, do people think that that's weird? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't think they think it's weird, but they're shocked when I say no. Because you right?
Yeah.
You always get, hey, where'd you play ball? And then you have tattoos, the whole nine.
Right.
But the flip side is, you play any instruments? Yeah, man, I play an instrument. Is it bass? I almost have to drop my head like, yeah, goddamn it, man. It is.
There's a guy.
And I tried to deflect it once by going, hey, Tony's a black dude. He's the best guitar player you're ever going to hear. And he's like, we're not talking about Tony. We're talking about you. Can Tony also play bass? Yes, Tony can also play bass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This makes me look like the racist, but like...
Oh, you're racist.
We don't...
So just say it.
Of the two people we know that can't swim, the one guy, when he told me, and just, look, it's not right, but my reaction, I went, but you're white.
Right.
And he was like, what does that have to do with anything? And I was like, well, there's a stereotype.
It's not our team. I assume that every white person I meet can swim.
Right.
You know, I mean,
until I moved here.
Right. I mean, it's just the assumption. I don't think to myself, they're white, they can swim. But if they said, we're going to the beach, if it's a bunch of white people, I'd be like, they're going to be in the water. Yeah. And then if I would not say who it is, but if he were to say, man, I can't swim, I would have so many questions for him. Like, where'd you grow up?
Oh, seriously. Right.
How did this happen? Because apparently, like, all white people are born in the ocean. And no, they swam to land and then carry on their life here.
Hey, when I was trying to figure out...
How many brothers have you seen in the Summer Olympic swimming?
Zero.
Wait, there is one on
one.
The Olympic...
You're done. Right. Thank you.
One.
Right.
One. Well, when I went up to...
There's one!
Yeah. Went up to
and he had to be rescued.
I was at Snoqualmie, and I was trying to learn how to ski. So this kid is about 25 years old, and
stereotype is about frozen water too.
Yeah, exactly. So he takes me up, and he's like, "All right." He's like, "So how many times have you done this?" And I was like, "This is my first time." He's like, "You can't ski at all," and I was like, "No." And he's like, "Wow." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Did you grow up here?" And I was like, "No, I've been here for about 5 years or whatever the deal is." He's like, "Where did you grow up?" And I was like, "West Virginia." And he's like, don't they have skiing in West Virginia? And I was like,
they do.
Yeah, actually, they do have skiing in West Virginia. He's like, you've never skied before. He's like, you're the oldest white person that I've ever given a lesson to.
Really?
Oh, and I was like,
white person. I like you.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
that's what he said. He said, you are the oldest white man I've ever given a lesson to. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're getting it pretty quick. He's like, but I've never given a lesson to an old white guy before.
Well, hey, man, my father has a friend.
God damn, when was this?
This was 2010. I mean, we've been here for 5 years.
So were you 40?
2010, yeah.
Just old white guy.
He could not believe that I had no skills. He's like, do you know pizza and french fries? And I'm like, no. He's like, oh, my God, okay, we're going to start there.
Here we go.
We're going to start there. He goes, I want you to watch these kids right here that are all learning. And they're all like four.
Of course.
Five years children. Old. I mean, just one kid looked like he was two and just zipping around. By the way, kids, no poles.
No.
So they're kind of flying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got poles. I'm trying to balance and everything else, man. And he's got me in pizza and french fries. He's like, I can't believe this. We're going to do pizza and french fries.
Well, my father has a buddy, and they had worked together years ago at Xerox. And he came to visit my parents probably 15 years ago. I happened to be in town. Good to see this guy. This is the guy that owned Pokey, the mule, that to this day.
The donkey.
My heart, donkey. Love that donkey, brother. Can't explain it. Anyway, and he has a dog named Star, and Star's the smartest dog I've ever seen in my life. If you said, hey, Star, what's going on with the stock market? I swear to God, this dog would have broken it down for you. Anyway, he was visiting my parents in New Mexico. He had to board his donkey and his horse. And then he's going up to Wyoming and Montana, where he leads these weeks-long hunting excursions, you know, with guys that want to go deep country hunting. It's a brother. This dude's like an 80-year-old man at the time, and it's a brother, so he's telling me what he does. And, like, I've known this guy my whole life, but it's still, when I knew him as a kid, he's working at Xerox, suit and tie, and that kind of thing. I did not realize what his interests were until I'm an adult, and I see him there, and he's like, yeah, I'm only here for a couple days and got to go to Montana. I'm like, why? He's like, to lead the hunting expedition. I'm like, what are you talking about, man? He's like, this is what I do in retirement. So there's like a season that I do this. I said, wait a minute, what? You said Montana and Wyoming. He goes, yes. I take my horse. There's no vehicles, nothing, man. We're living off the land. We do this thing. I'm like, a brother's doing this. Get the F out of here.
Well, Ted, what are you doing?
You're not wrong, though, because fishing is everybody.
Fishing is everybody.
But for some reason, when I think about hunting, I just think about...
On a horse with the gun.
You're right. I just think about white dudes.
Everybody does.
But would you go and you really see who's fishing when you go to different places? It seems to me like the Hispanic population in a lot of areas fish a lot more than any other.
I don't know. The black population on the East Coast, man. It is massive.
Well, Ted, when you tell people, when you tell someone, a black person from D.C. that you're from P.G., do you ever get that you're from P.G.?
Yeah, but it's like respectful.
Oh, it's a plus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes I got to almost...
Are they shocked?
Yeah. Not, I was telling Mike, not as much anymore.
Sure.
But for sure, back in the day. And it was, like, I would say it all the time. Like, man, I got P.G. County inside the Beltway. People are like, what?
Inside,
but if you're from there, you know, now granted, like I was telling Mike, like College Park was fine.
Sure.
Right. But obviously next door was could be a little rough or whatever. But yeah. I think I got more crap from white people though, who like because I used to have a different accent. Didn't like the way I talked, didn't like the way I dressed, or didn't like the music I listened to. As
I've
opposed
been there,
to
brother.
Black people,
right?
That were there. Like, oh, that's where you grew up. This explains a lot. It,
right, same thing.
I mean, we have a mutual friend, right? Like our buddy that grew up, it lives out here. He's from PG County. We were having drinks one night, and I won't say what I brought up, but he was like, I have never heard a white person mention that name. Like, I can't believe you know that. Like, where did you learn that? And I was like,
it's where you live.
Right?
Like, what was the name? Do you remember?
It's a terrible thing.
Okay,
but,
all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you have to, it goes into like stuff that still goes on today.
Yeah. There are bad stereotypes though. So my parents, when they retired, they moved around to 1,000 different places. All right. But one of the places they settled 2 years, two, 3 years, whatever, was Austin, Texas. Right. And Austin's got what's going on there. Everyone's very familiar with the vibe of Austin. And my mother called me to say, hey, we're moving from, they may have moved from there up to Seattle. I don't remember. But she said, yeah, we're leaving Austin. So I thought you guys loved it there. She said, oh, we do, but we also like to travel. And as soon as people see our driver's license and think we're from Texas, they think we're stupid. I said, oh, come on. She's like, I swear to God that she did not know that the stereotype of Texas is that you're an idiot if you're from Texas. You might be strong.
So is that in the surrounding area of Texas, or is that just...
The surrounding area known as planet Earth.
Okay, all right.
She's like, even if we went international somewhere, right? Obviously, everyone's familiar with the U.S. You can say you're from Florida. People are like, oh, Tropic Sunshine. They think it's all Miami, blah, blah, blah. But she said, Texas, just the look people gave you, it's almost like they slowed down talking to help you out. She goes, that's embarrassing, man. People just assume you're an idiot.
Well, same with West Virginia.
You're not wrong.
I mean, trust me. West Virginia education. I heard that a lot. I trust me. And I mess up a lot of words. There's a lot of things that I'm not bright on at all.
Sure.
And it plays right into it. Like, Jesus, man. West Virginia public education. Huh? I'm like,
Baltimore City public education doesn't exactly get a glowing endorsement. And it shouldn't. But it's like people are surprised you survive. But you can speak. I'm like, right, that's not a prerequisite to graduate from Baltimore City. They don't care. Basically, you age out of it, and they give you a diploma.
Jesus.
Hey, man, you're 20 years old now. Here's a diploma. Get out of
it. Wasn't it like a 12% graduation rate out of that area?
Yeah. There was one school. Oh, man. I think it was a high school in Baltimore. It's like 2 or 3 years ago. And like 2% of the freshman class made it to their senior year. And think about that.
Like the valedictorian had like a C average.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, like, that's where I went to school, and it sucks because I don't think I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot in a lot of ways. Educationally and academically, I am not. But, understandably, when you say Baltimore City Schools, it's like, oh, it's kind of like the education system in a prison.
Okay.
It's a matter of surviving it. There's no educational
value. I would also say there's just stereotypes of, like, the sexes, right? Mm-hmm. So it's always like guys are just, you know, big grown-up children.
Children, sure.
It's like, nah, we're not. But I guarantee you, all four of us, when the Blue Angels are zipping around, like, oh, man, like, cool, check.
Yeah.
Or what happened when you handed us Nerf guns Monday?
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to shoot the living piss out of people.
Look at that truck rolling by on I-5.
Mike and I get excited every time we see a Blackhawk land over at the hospital.
Yeah. I get excited.
That's still kind of cool. I get excited every time I see a model train set.
Wow.
I stop.
Maybe don't admit that one.
No,
man.
I'm serious.
We were tracking well.
I'm sorry.
I like do. Model trains.
I'm one of these guys, like, oh, dude, look at that. It's a little town.
Wow.
Digging a bridge over there. This is amazing.
I mean, I stop. Like, and I mean, why
don't you become model train guy?
Well, I can't stop looking at them. Like, I just.
You should build one in your house.
You should get a model train.
I'm fascinated by it.
But here's the problem.
Make it bring you a beer.
You don't get a model train set because if you were still married, I'd say, get the model train set. Because wives just accept the stupid things their husbands do and vice versa. If you're to bring a chick to your house,
yes,
right, you're about to get lucky, and she sees a model train set and she asks you something like, do you live alone? If you say yes, you ain't getting laid that night.
What if the train brings by a condom?
A buddy of mine that I used to work with in Annapolis at WRNR, he lived in Columbia, Maryland, right? He was an older gentleman. He was a lifelong postman. Okay. So I go over to his house, we're gonna drink beer, smoke weed, he's gonna play some music, we're just gonna hang out, right? So he's like, "Do you want to see my model train set?" And I'm like, "Absolutely I do."
Hell yeah.
He goes, "I'll be right back." He goes upstairs. So I'm thinking, I don't know what he's doing upstairs. He comes back down. He's got overalls on.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. And he's got a hat. And he's like, "Let's go down to the basement." And I'm like, "Wow. All right. This is going to be awesome.
Do you have a pair of overalls for me?"
Oh, my God. I mean, this thing was an entire room that he created. He could make it turn to night. The lights would come on in the buildings. You want to run the train at night? He had a thunder-sounding machine, like, and lights would flash.
I'm sorry, man. At the top of it, you said this was cool.
Yes. Yes.
Everything seriously, about like, this lights is would my flicker. Nightmare.
I was like, "Oh, my God, we're in a thunder shower. This is incredible."
Did he put the hat on?
He had the whole deal.
Did you get an overall set?
No. I was a guest.
Did you want one?
I was a guest.
If he had offered it to you, would you have put one on?
I was like, "Look at this little kid. He's got a lunchbox. He's going to school. It's a school bus coming to pick him up. This is amazing."
One of my babysitters, her husband had one in a separate room in the basement.
That's what he had.
We were not allowed in there. And then around Christmas every year, he'd be like, "All right, come on, kids. I'll show you the trade."
Yeah. What do you do that perfectly fits your stereotype? 206-803-ROCK.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Join the Al Morning Show at T-Mobile Park. Daily Mix Morning Show taking over. Next Wednesday, it's going to be a 1 o'clock game there. They got a couple sections. And tickets, by the way, are discounted. And I believe $2 of every ticket sold benefits the Multiple Sclerosis Society.
That is correct.
So it's a daytimer. It's the Red Sox. They are hanging out in the afternoon. And hopefully we'll get a Mariner win out of that one. But tickets on sale now. All the details at KISW.com. Go spend the afternoon with the morning show, hang out, drink some cold beer. Men's Room IPA in the bright yellow can is on sale at T-Mobile Park. Grab a couple of those, hang with the show, and have a good time, man.
You know, we're talking about stereotypes. If you ever want to figure out a stereotype, at least with gender, go to a restaurant, right? There's some guaranteed things that happen. If it's you, well, if it's me and my wife, all right?
Okay.
We sit down. No, they don't necessarily know we're married. I can be there with my mother. It doesn't matter. I just need a female with me. So a couple of things happen. If wine is brought up, my wife will ask about wine. I'm not a big wine drinker. I don't care about it. I just want a beer. So she will ask, what wines do you have? They have their conversation. They will grab the bottle, and inevitably, either they pour a sample or they want you to smell the cork or whatever. They come up to me. And I say the same thing every time. Like, you notice I was dead silent during your entire conversation.
I am not involved.
She asked about it. Why don't you have her sample it? That's for her. That's one thing. Two, if I order a dessert, inevitably, it shows up with a share spoon, as they call it.
That is correct.
And it lands in the middle of the table. And I'm like, look, my wife is able-bodied. If she wanted a dessert, she would have ordered one. I ordered this for me. And they always say the same thing. I brought you a share spoon. Now, subsequently, there are occasions where my wife will get a dessert and I don't. They put it in front of her with one spoon. So if the guy orders it, I must be there to share it. I'm like, why does this happen? And then finally, the check drop.
Well, the check drop should be coming your way.
100% of the time, it lands next to me. But if I were sitting there with you, they will ask, are you going to split this? That's one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they will put the check in the middle of the table. And I'm like, why are you making these assumptions that, A, I want to share my dessert, B, that I'm interested in wine that I never brought up. She asked you about it. Why are you giving it to me? And why is the check landing on my lap, man?
Right, correct.
Every time. But again, if you go to mm-hmm. two dudes, and I don't know, I guess the same thing happens with women, right? They'll drop the check in the middle of the table. It's all female. But if you're there with a guy, and here's my question. Now, say we're at a four-top. There are three women, and there is me, and we have eaten dinner. Are you still dropping this goddamn check
yes.
in front of me?
Yes.
Because I'm not.
More than likely, yes.
I feel like at that point, they got to put it in the middle.
I would hope so.
Sometimes it'll just be like, well, who wants the check?
I just put it on the edge of the table. Just put it in the middle. Because most of the time, I usually carry cash. My wife carries a credit card. And chances are, at a restaurant, like, she's quote-unquote going to pay for it. In other words, she's going to do the transaction. Yes, it might be my money, but she's going to do the transaction. Not me. Drop it over there, man.
Right.
Or ask. And again, I always tell them, I do not want a share spoon. I physically say this out. I don't want one. I have no plans to share. If somebody wanted something, they could freaking order it, right?
Yeah.
And if I'm there with my family, this one really pisses me off. So there's four of us sitting there. We went somewhere recently. I shall not say the name. I wanted a dessert, which was a chocolate cheesecake thing and all this. She did put it in front of me, but brought three additional spoons. And I'm like, again, the kids could order dessert if they want it.
Yes.
I asked them. They said no. Why do you think I want to share my food with people? Just a hint. I don't.
I think it's more, too, of people that say no to dessert. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows they're full of S.
Agreed.
And then when it gets there.
Can I try it?
Yeah.
You can try it.
But you're not.
But when you bring a spoon, this is not to try it. That is to eat it. You see what I'm saying? Like, if my wife wants to try it, I will hand her my spoon. And to be fair, she will hand it back 5 minutes later. But still, when you bring the spoon, you've just opened the floodgates. You just told her, please eat as much of this as you want.
But, oh, same thing with nachos. Nachos go in the middle of the table.
I agree.
If you ordered them for you, that was your meal, nachos still go in the middle of the table.
But if you ordered them for you, you will simply pull them toward you.
It's mozzarella sticks. Mm-hmm. You want to order that for appetizers. They will put that in the middle of the table. Even though everyone else got their appetizers.
Yeah.
So they all got something. Now, but
with appetizers, I think you got to say, this is what I'm getting.
But I think Miles is saying, like, so the four of us go out, all four of us ordered an appetizer. Miles's happens to be mozzarella steak.
That's right.
They almost still put, even though we each have a plate in front of us, Miles's still goes in the middle of the table.
Mm-hmm. I did it to a friend of mine. I did not realize he was, right, it was three of us.
All right.
He got nachos, right? So as I got my meal, his nachos came, and I just took one.
Oh, you get to look?
Right, so he's like, that's his meal. And I was like, oh.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to grab
one of your
sliders.
I know, you put it back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why don't I have one of these egg rolls then,
Right, well, that's the thing. But again, I'm closer to the stereotype of a woman than a dude when it comes to, like, restaurants. Like, I want to order a bunch of appetizers and share.
Okay. Let's go to Yellowstone National Park for a minute. A bison gored a man on Tuesday at Yellowstone National Park after a large group of visitors got way too close to it. The 30-year-old victim was treated for minor injuries after being gored around 9:45 a.m. near the Old Faithful area, according to the park. They did not release the man's name or condition, saying what happened was under investigation and that no more information was available per the release. He was told numerous times to back away from the animal and continued to move closer and closer and closer until the animal had enough and went after the guy. So he was told multiple times. What state do you believe this guy is from? Any guesses?
It's one of two.
Any guesses?
Well, I know, because I used it yesterday. This is the most recent one, right?
He's from New Jersey.
Yeah,
Jersey.
I was going to say, it's okay. Jersey or Florida.
So anyone who read this and from New Jersey went, damn it. You know, of course. Like, because this is exactly.
But there's also a percentage of people from New Jersey that go, why is everyone bugging him? He knew what he was doing. He wants to get gored. Let him get gored. Yeah. Now he knows.
So Jersey.
Why is it only Yellowstone we have to say this, right? You went on safari.
Correct.
Did they have to tell anyone, hey, if you see a lion, don't go walk up to it? Did they tell you that, or did they assume that maybe you
okay,
would piece right, together?
Okay,
that's a bad
okay,
idea.
All right, I'm just going to tell you what they told me. So out of all of the countries in the world of visitors who come to those parks and do safaris, in this one particular, which was in the Kruger National Park area, they have multiple different tours. There are different lodges you can stay at.
Sure.
But when it comes to people putting themselves in incredibly dangerous situations and not understanding the severity of the danger that they are getting involved in.
Can I guess?
It's one country, and it's only one country that has to be explained multiple times, even though there is a language barrier, but they have a card for every language of people coming to warn them. So they are ready for this. They print them up. So
let me guess. I'm just guessing here. I'm going to say it's either the U.S. or Japan. I'm going to go Japan.
Okay.
Japan.
United States has a stereotype, but it's not that.
I'll say Australia.
I'm following Steve's tip. I'll go China.
China.
Really?
Yes.
Chinese.
To explain, like, don't approach these animals?
With
the apex predators.
Correct. So, you know, taking pictures, obviously a big deal when you're on safari.
Yes.
All right. So the closer you can get, the better off you are. And when it and this is part of the problem. And they like look as far as your phone goes and stuff like that, you know, some people had big rigs and all that stuff. But the people that were walking up closer to the animals where it got dangerous, they say most of the time it's the Chinese tourists that we have to continually remind,
like, don't do this.
You can't pet that animal. You cannot touch an elephant. You cannot do these things.
You can, but it will literally be the last thing you do. So just ask: is it that important that I do this? That is my final act on this earth. Was to try to pet a lion.
Yeah. Now, as far as United States is concerned, okay, and this goes back to just the melting pot that is our country. So, believe it or not, all these guys, they are geographically some of the smartest people on this planet. They can read a person and know exactly where they're from.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm talking about the different sections of the United States of America. So, they know that you're from New York. They know that you are from New Jersey by the way that you act, by the way that you talk.
Oh, absolutely.
By your entire aura about you. As far as people who complain the most, as far as the accommodations and all those things, they are either from New York or they are from Florida.
I believe that.
So the people that drink the most, they are from the South.
All right. Sure.
So they have a pretty good idea who drinks the most beer, who drinks the most wine. They know for a fact that West Coast people are a little bit calmer. They're not as loud.
Right, nice.
They're not as
booing. Think it's a little bit calmer. Lived in both, like, considerably calmer than the East Coast, man.
Correct. And so our first read on the group was that we were probably Canadian, which is not far off if you're in Seattle.
No, you get that a lot. Yeah. You actually do get that a lot.
You do. And just based on the mannerisms and everything else, the questions you ask. There are some people. Okay, so, all right. So this guy, and I've told the story before. So this guy, he speaks 9 languages. His job is to take me to the airport, all right, to Kruger Airport, because I'm flying out to Victoria Falls. So it's about a 2-hour bus ride. So we had conversations about stuff, and he's like, you know what, man? He's like, I cannot remember what this guy did. He was like an accountant or something like that, but he really enjoyed his time doing this part-time job.
All right.
He loved talking to people. He used to be in the tourist industry. He still does it. It's pretty good money because people tip pretty generously.
Yeah, I would think so.
And not only that, but he makes pretty good money doing this. So he was like, look, I my job is from the time that you get to the airport, I'm the guy holding the sign. I am the guy that is going to take you to your hotel, no matter how far it is away. He says, I'm picking up a group of six, three different couples. They are from New Jersey, all right? Now, at first, the first thing he does, he's holding up the sign in the airport. This guy comes running up to him, starts rubbing his head, holds the sign, flips it around, starts taking selfies, okay?
Sounds like New Jersey.
And then the other two guys run up like, yeah, like, we're in Africa, do the whole thing. And he's like, oh, no. So he realizes, I've got to be in a van with these guys for like, I can't remember, it was like 3 hours, 6 hours, whatever the deal is. So he's like, I got a couple tricks I do. Number one, I act like I cannot speak English.
Oh, yeah.
He said, that's the number one thing. So he's like, and then when the women, after they got their luggage, they came up and they all group hugged and giggled and started rubbing me and everything else and taking pictures and all this stuff. He's like, I am not, you know, I'm a human being. I'm not, you know, I'm not your play toy here. So they get into the van and he's like, he asks questions like, you know, oh, where do I take you?
Right.
Such and such. Like, oh, beautiful lodge. Very nice. You will enjoy. And he's like, well, how far is the drive? Oh, Kabuka Lounge. Beautiful place. You will enjoy. Hey, can we stop and use the bathroom? Ooh, Kabuka Lounge. Beautiful place. You will enjoy it there. So, but he says, the hardest part about it is I understand every goddamn thing they are saying.
Right.
I don't want to talk to them.
No.
But I cannot react to anything they say. If they say something absolutely stupid as hell, I can't giggle. I can't I got to be expressionless. He's like, it's the hardest part of this jig. It's trying to just stay calm, like I can't understand what they're saying. And he's like, man, it's just absolute torture because they just think you're an idiot.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, but I'm going to play.
Which is ironic.
I'm going to play the idiot card. You know,
just to not have a conversation.
Don't want to talk to these idiots.
Oh, yeah.
So, and they, man, they know everything about the United States as far as the people that they travel with, the people that they like, the people they know are going to be drunk, which was.
I heard the same thing when I did the cruise, right? Mediterranean. So most of the cruise is Europeans. And it is amazing. It does not matter what port of call you went to. They can identify what country you're from before you physically arrive, right? They'll see you in line and, because everyone there can speak, like you said, eight languages. And they're tourists from everywhere. So talking German to one couple. Keep in mind, the couple didn't identify as being German. They just walk up, and before they could even say anything, the person behind the counter is speaking in German to them, which blew my mind. And we're like fourth in line. And I want to say they like went from French to German. We rolled up, and my wife and I are like, oh, boy, I hope. And they're like, oh, good morning. What can I do for you? Wait. How do you figure that out? But when we were on the ship, you do have conversations with a lot of different people from a lot of different countries. And me and this English guy met at the bar. So we're just going back and forth. We're talking like politics, the world thing. He goes, man, you know, our two countries a lot. People look at what we're doing. So he started calling me Obama. I called him Prince Harry. Right. And because we're like, we're not going to remember each other's names, but just the stereotype of the country. Well, as we're going back and forth, this chick from Germany goes, oh, really? Do you guys have a bad? Really? Everyone pays attention. And obviously, we're going back to Adolf Hitler. Well, that became her nickname. And she she thought it was hilarious. But between the three of us, like I said, I was only addressed as Obama. He was only Prince Harry. She's only Hitler, right? So we would have conversations with each other. But then you forget that you've given these guys these nicknames. So I'm walking down, and cruise ship halls are real long. I'm walking with my wife. I see this woman whose name I couldn't tell you in 10 million years, and she yells down the hall, hey, Obama. And I got this much, hey,
Jesus.
Because there's other people in the hall, right? Okay. So when I see her later at the bar, she's
like,
is that
a black guy saying that?
She goes, honest to God, I didn't think about it either. And she goes, when you put the tongue brakes on, like, oh, God, yeah, maybe we don't yell that anymore.
So, okay, so there's also, back to Africa real quick, because I forgot this one. But this is another one, all right? So the woman told me that if you are from New York or Florida, it's a little bit of New Jersey, but New York and Florida, all right? They constantly have to remind the women, especially the older women in the groups, to not wear their shiny metal jewelry.
Right.
All right? So, like, ma'am, you have to take those earrings off. Ma'am, you have to take these bracelets off. Ma'am, you have to take these necklaces off. All these rings off. Like, the shiny, you don't realize. Basically, you it's almost like swimming in a shark-infested pool with jewelry on.
Yeah.
I mean, you're basically just...
You're begging them to come find
you. You look
it.
Like a yeah. lure, and you're going to attract someone, and someone's going to jump up and try to find out what that is right. until they figure out what it is. By that point in time, they've got your mouth, you in their mouth.
Yeah.
Right? But it's every day. Ma'am, seriously.
You mean you're telling the same woman the next day?
You need to take the rings back to the room. There's a safe in there. You know, like you cannot wear this stuff out. And it was every single day. And you're either from New York, New Jersey, or Florida. Those are the only people.
Most of Florida is people from New York
and New Jersey. Exactly. That's exactly.
But I think a lot of it is just dress, too.
They did the math.
Yeah.
Because even when you go to, like, English white countries, like England, like, they get, that's American.
They'll tell you, the first thing you can identify an American with is, you guys love your baseball caps, man.
Yep.
It's more than any other country. And the difference is, they say, in the U.S., just because you're wearing a baseball cap does not mean you're representing a baseball team. They're like, you guys love companies, you love bands. You like some baseball teams, you like football. They go, but man, everyone in the States rocks baseball caps. And I thought about that. I'm like, you're about 90% correct, as I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah, right.
But they go, but the difference is, it's not necessarily a sport-affiliated thing, which they found really strange, right? So the guys in England were like, if I'm wearing a baseball cap, it will say Liverpool mm-hmm. or Everton or, like, you guys.
Arsenal.
It's anything.
Sure.
You know, Mike's Rib Shack, but, like, you got a baseball cap.
Honey bucket.
Right.
So exactly, yeah. man. So like, you guys make baseball caps for anything. I'm like, you are not wrong.
For direct conversation, easy to talk to, you get it. Germans. They said that, like, you tell a German something once, it's done.
Right, got it.
It's done.
We had that experience.
As far as
efficiency. Seriously, like, it is so bred into the culture. No one's mean. Yeah. It's just purely efficient. Everything.
Yeah, so
Trains are going to leave on time. Your flight's going to leave on time. This is how you get down here. This is where you go, period.
Yeah. Who do you have the most patience with? Who do you have to have the most patience with? Answer there, we don't. But we choose to have the most patience with Americans no matter what, every single time. Every single time. Why is that?
Because we spend a lot of money.
Because we're tipping, and we're a tipping culture.
Yep.
And we're one of the few that tip higher. If you tip at all, then we right. tip higher than even the tipping countries that normally tip. So, based on the way that we have our system working here, if you need to be as patient as possible with Americans, because if you are, the outcome will be greater
yes.
for you in the end. So you've got to maintain that level of decorum with them, regardless of how stupid they are, whatever crap they get into, because in the end, you're going to have to deal with them anyway.
And they're going to get your money.
You're going to get some more money
right.
than you are with any other
Plus,
country.
I feel like no matter the price point, Americans bitch. Whereas, like, there's this famous, like, chain of places in England, and just all the English are like, yeah, it's complete crap. But they know that going into it.
All right.
Whereas, I won't name restaurants, but some places have really great deals on food and stuff. Yeah. And then people go in there and think they're a foodie and want to bitch and moan about the food. It's like, dude, it was you know.
It's $2.
Right. right. You know what I mean? What did you expect?
Coming up at 4:35, the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. And we've got your emails coming up next from the men's room at KISW.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection. Because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today. And live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.